Moshe's real concern, when Reuven and Gad asked to remain on their side of the Jordan, is the way that distance can split families apart. It's a single word that betrays his concern, one that reminds us of a much older story. Moshe replied to Gad and Reuven, "Are your brothers to go to war while you stay here?" Brothers. Moshe's word choice refers to the rest of the Jewish people, Reuven and Gad's ultra-extended family. But right in context of the rest of the story, massive wealth that leads to a request to separate, the word brothers reminds us of a similar story, a story about family and the way physical distance can cause it to unravel. Lot, who went with Avram, also had flocks and herds and tents so that the land could not support them staying together, for their possessions were so great that they could not remain together. Like Avraham's separation from Lot, the two tribes' request to stay on this side of the Jordan is precipitated by cattle in need of grazing land. Here, the painful nature of the divide is made clear from the outset. The text states twice that the two could no longer dwell together, emphasizing Avraham and Lot's previous state of togetherness. Lot, Avraham's nephew, has been his constant companion since he left his home to follow God's command. Avraham, who does not have children, likely sees Lot as his presumptive heir, until now. Avram said to Lot, "Do not let there be strife between us, between my herders and yours, for we are brothers. The whole land is before you. Let us separate. If you go north, I will go south, and if you go south, I will go north." Lot looked about him and saw how well watered the whole plain of the Jordan was, all of it. This was before God had destroyed Sodom and Amorah, all the way to Tzoar, like the garden of God, like the land of Egypt. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward, and brother parted from brother. Avram's suggestion to Lot that they separate further emphasizes the relationship between the two. Using the word brothers, the same word Moshe uses for the relationship between the two tribes and the rest of the Jewish people, Avram proposes that Lot choose whatever part of the land he wants for himself. Whichever way Lot goes, Avraham will go in the opposite direction. Like the two tribes, Lot chooses land adjacent to the Jordan, on the other side, because it is well irrigated and good for cattle. Once again, the text emphasizes the brotherhood between Lot and Avraham, this time as they part ways. Despite their separation, Avraham still considers Lot his brother, and when Lot is endangered, Avraham mobilizes to save him. When Avram heard that his brother's household had been taken captive, he mustered his retainers born into his household, numbering 318, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. Although the text does not say so explicitly, an additional motive might lurk behind Avram's campaign. The hope that, when he sees that Avraham was willing to fight for him, Lot might choose to return home. But when the king of Sodom offers Avraham a deal, those hopes are dashed. "Take everything you want," he tells Avraham, "all the possessions. The people, though, are mine." He brought back all the possessions. He also brought back his brother Lot and his possessions and the women and the rest of the people. Then the king of Sodom said to Avram, "Give me the people and take the possessions for yourself." The implication is clear. Avraham went to war for one reason, to save Lot. Now, however, without even a conversation with his nephew, Avraham is dismissed, told to take his loot and go. That failure, those fleeting and defeated hopes of reconciliation, are the impetus for God's sudden appearance to Avraham in the verses immediately following his conversation with the king of Sodom, an appearance, we are told, which took place following these events. Following these events, the word of God came to Avram in a vision. "Fear not, Avram, I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." But Avram said, "O Lord God, what can you give me, seeing that I shall die childless, and the one in charge of my household is domestic Eliezer?" Avram said further, "Since you have granted me no offspring, my steward will be my heir." The word of God came to him in reply, "That one shall not be your heir. None but your very own offspring shall be your heir." The Abraham we encounter in this conversation with God is different than we've seen him before. He has lost hope. "What can you possibly give me?" Abraham asks God, "if I am to be inherited by my household manager, Eliezer." In the context of Lot's failure to return, Abraham's despair is tragic. Abraham hoped, after all this time, that he and Lot might finally find a way to live together again. When he returns without his nephew, Abraham understands that he has lost his presumptive heir, the man who has been like a brother to him forever. Lot has abandoned Abraham and the covenant with God as well. Hundreds of years later, when Reuven and Gad ask Moshe to remain on the other side of the Jordan, so close to the fertile lands of stone that Lot once chose, Moshe sees the tragedy playing out once again. In his question, "Will your brothers go to war while you remain here?" Moshe highlights the danger the Jewish people face if Reuven and Gad remain behind. It is not simple to remain a family when you choose to live in different places. If Reuven and Gad remain behind, they, like Lot, may decide to abandon not just their brethren, but the entire covenant. But when Moshe hears Reuven and Gad's offer, he realizes that this time the story might have a different ending. And we will go ahead as shock troops, ahead of Bnei Israel, until we have established them in their home, while our children stay in the fortified towns because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return to our homes until Bnei Israel, every one of them, are in possession of their portion. In promising not to return to their own homes until their brothers are settled in theirs, Reuven and Gad make it clear that they are not playing Lot's part in this story, but Avram's. Like Abraham, who went to war for Lot even after their separation, Reuven and Gad will not allow distance to erode their responsibility to their family. Just as Abraham fought for Lot, so too they will fight for their brothers. In taking Abraham's part, the two tribes are living his words to Lot, "Anashim achim anachnu," we are brothers. Despite distance and geography, we will not forget that we are kin. Despite the Jordan between them, they understand that their destinies are bound up together. They will not forget their brothers, nor the covenant that binds them to each other and to God. It is not easy to maintain relationships across distance. Relationships can fade when they are not maintained in the day-to-day, and the world and its complications look very different from different places. Mutual misunderstanding grows all too easily in relationships that do not have the bedrock of regular contact to strengthen them. Whether separated by a river or by an ocean, it can become all too easy to look at someone who used to feel like a sibling and see a stranger. But the story of Reuven and Gad offers a pathway forward. These relationships are not easy, but they are possible if we are willing to remember Abraham's words, "We are brothers," and enact the commitment that comes from them. They are possible if we remember that whatever side of the river or ocean we find ourselves on, being family means that we share a covenant and a destiny.